Did you want your stool?
We're having some issues this morning, or this evening, I should say, with some sound stuff, so hopefully get her figured out. Okay, well, there it is, good. All right, we're blessed that you came to worship with us tonight. We're looking into, actually we've been exploring faith, hope, and love. And tonight will be our final chapter on the faith portion, so looking forward to that. So I wanted to mention a couple things. There's a sign-up sheet to sign up your email address and stuff like that, so we'd really love to stay in touch with you. So if we don't have your email address, if you haven't been hearing from us through your email, go ahead and get it down on that sign-up back there. That would be great. A couple other items of business. We are trying to get a trailer. Doing this takes a lot of loading in and loading out, and we really want a trailer badly. So we're believing God for a trailer, and we're looking forward to anybody that would like to help to that effort. So if you could contribute to our trailer fund, that would be awesome. We do have also the capability of receiving offerings via debit cards and credit cards, so there's a swiper thing in the back. So if you know, you'd like to partner with us, we're looking for people that have a vision, that want to see Cayucas and the whole Central Coast changed for the Lord. That's what we're trying to do here. We're really trying to initiate a wave of just God's Spirit. Not initiated, that isn't the right word. We're trying to just ride that wave, I guess is a good word. God's already doing the wave, and we're just coming along for the ride. So anyway, if you'd like to join with us, partner with us, financially support what God's doing here, the opportunity is there for you. So just see one of us, and we can get that hooked up for you. Kingsley mentioned the door hanger campaign. One thing we haven't done yet is really tell everybody we're here. We've kind of let it out on Facebook, so if you're a Facebook person, you might have seen our stuff out there, but we really haven't gone out and told the world, hey guys, Hope Living Church is here and alive in Cayucas. So we're going to be doing that through a door hanger campaign for starters. So that will again be happening when Kingsley said on the 9th and 16th at 4. If you can't be there at 4, that's cool because it's going to take a while. So just come when you can and we'll hook up. I'm sure we can find each other via cell phone or whatnot, figure out where the party's happening and keep those door hangers going. So again, I mentioned that we do have a Facebook and a website, so check those out for more information. Also, one thing I've been doing is I've been putting on the blog just my notes from the previous week's message. So if you didn't get it and want to catch up with what we were talking about, you can look at the message notes on the blog on our webpage. So check that out. So again, I said that we've been in the Faith, Hope, and Love series, and our foundation scripture for that is 1 Corinthians 13:13. We've mentioned that many times. I want to read it again, just because I think it's very much worth just getting embedded in our hearts. But now, faith, hope, and love remain. These three virtues must characterize our lives. The greatest of these is love. But it doesn't say least important. Faith's very important. We're going to be talking about faith some more. But I think the most important thing is that we are exhibiting these things in our life. And I think sometimes we have to do a self-check and just say, God, you know, have I been loving today? Have I shown my faith today? Have I walked in faith today? Have I acted on your word today? Have I loved someone today? So those things are really important self-checks, and I think we really need to keep that, you know, right on the front of what we do. Maybe put it on your medicine cabinet at home, and maybe if you're married, have your significant other, your spouse, check with you on that and see how you're doing. And maybe just ask them, say, hey, have I been kind today? Have I been loving? Have I been leading you in faith? So those things are important. I think our spouses are probably the best reflection sometimes of the truth of where we're at. So again, ask yourself, ask the people close to you how you're doing. So there's just so much. I found studying about faith, there's just so much to do. I could literally talk like for the rest of the year on faith, but I think it is important that we keep moving. So tonight, I think I've got a really good way to connect faith in such a way that we'll be able to take something home. That's my prayer tonight, is that this is something simple and something easy to digest, and that you'll walk away going, now I know how I can test my faith. I know how I can check it. So see if that's true. So the next slide, I should say, should see a wonderful mother eagle swooping down to her little chicks. And so I've heard that, this story, I read this week, I thought it was really cool, that mother eagles, when they're teaching their little ones to fly, they boot them out the nest. Like, I mean, they're up at the top of these trees. I don't know if you've seen an eagle's nest. They're not, like, next to the ground. They're way up there. And a mother eagle will boot that baby bird out of the nest, then dive down behind it, swooping down and catching it before it hits the ground. She carries it back up, drops it back in the nest, and there they go. And they keep doing that until the little one flies. And I just thought that was really cool. It was an interesting way, you know, to think about how God does with us. Don't you think it feels like that sometimes in faith? That he'll just boot you right out the nest, and you'll just flatter your little stubs, and you know what? You'll flutter down, and he'll swoop down right at the right moment and catch you before you crash and carry you back up, and guess what? They'll just keep repeating that. So I don't have a whole lot of personal experience with eagles, but I do know something about robins. And so the next slide. Boom. I thought that was funny. I thought I had a little laugh. There's a mother robin doing that, just giving the ungracious. But seriously, robin's been awesome with our girls and getting them ready to fly on their own. But I just thought that was funny and I couldn't resist. But, you know, life's kind of messy, right? I mean, life just brings you all kinds of stuff. And we roll with it. Some things that we hit in life take us down, you know, where it seems like there's just no getting back up. But life, the neat thing about that is God has given us a lot of great promises that are really important to hold on to during this journey that we call life. So the idea that I wanted to get across tonight, I wanted us to consider, you know, faith and how having faith should affect our lives. Okay, I have faith. So what? How does it make me live differently? So I thought this really was a neat way of connecting on that hope and that idea. So on the next slide, this is kind of the main idea of tonight's message, is faith knows the final score. That's what I wanted us to get. I guess the picture didn't work. There it is. Okay, here's the picture. So it's just, you know, faith knows the final score. So let's say your favorite team is in the Super Bowl. Or maybe if you don't like baseball, I mean, if you don't like football, baseball would work. You know what? Even if you don't like sports, maybe you like record The Bachelor on your TiVo or something. And so there's something, you know, about having that. And you try really hard when you record something. Like, let's say, you know, you weren't able to get to the game. You couldn't sit down. You were working or whatever. You couldn't watch the Super Bowl, so you recorded it, right? And then, you know, you hope and pray that you can get home and turn that thing on before somebody tips you about what happened, right? And you don't listen to the radio, you turn the radio off, you know, everybody's talking, you know, you're walking, you know, walking home or whatever, come out the driveway and there's people all talking, you're just doing everything you can to avoid hearing something about what happened. But what happens, inevitably, something, I don't know, somebody turns on the radio and you're, oh, you know, the 49ers won the Super Bowl, oh, wow, great, okay. So my point, though, is that if you knew who's going to win the final game, the final score, who wins the game, how does that affect your enjoyment of watching the game? Let's say you're really a big fan, you really want to watch the game, right? You're going to watch the Super Bowl because, hey, you recorded it. But you already know who won. How does that affect how you watch the game? It makes you think a little bit differently, right? So what happens if, you're watching the game, you know who wins, but you're watching and you see, oh my goodness, you know, let's say it's, I don't know, who was in this year, the Super Bowl?
Seattle and Denver,
right? Okay, so let's say, I don't remember exactly how the game went, but I do, let's just say the Broncos won up by, I know the Seahawks won, but let's just say the Broncos were up by 3 touchdowns. And you're watching the game, and it's like, wow, there goes another touchdown. Wow, but you know who's going to win. So does that make you all nervous?
That's good.
Does it bother you that your team's down by 3 touchdowns? It doesn't, right? Because you know who's going to win. I think I'm kind of getting real obvious about this. But, you know, what if your team's playing really badly right now? What if your team is not getting it done? The defense is giving up touchdowns and, you know, whatever. But the problem is that by knowing who's going to win, it totally affects the way that you look at the game. Now you can enjoy it in a different way, perhaps. You're not wondering who's going to win, but maybe you're going to wonder how. You're going to see how the game unfolds. Who's doing what? How how the different players come step up and all that. So I was just thinking that was a really cool correlation for this faith, this life of faith. Because we can have confidence in the game, in watching the game. We can have confidence in our team because we know the final score. And that gives us a different perspective. We have a perspective of what I'm calling the known ending. And so it's more than hope, right? Hope is really good. We've got hope. Hope is something that you have before you know the final score, kind of in a way, right? Because we hope that there's a lot of ways to use the word hope, but and that's going to be the next time we talk. I'm going to talk a whole lot about hope. But let's just say, you know, hope. We hope we have a nice day when we wake up. Yeah, we hope that dinner is going to be our favorite meal or whatever. We have a lot of different hopes, but the hope that we have in the Lord isn't based on something we don't know. It's based on God's word, which we do know. So that's the connection I'm trying to make, is that this life of faith that we're walking is really a whole lot like watching that recorded sporting event, or even The Bachelor, right? You wonder, how did she ever pick him, right? Well, you watch the show and you can figure out how it got to the ending, even though you already know who wins. So I like to think of it like this, is like, you know, everything in our life is filtered by the lens of knowing that we're on the winning team, right? You're a believer, we've read Revelation, we peeked ahead, right? We've read the final chapter, we know who wins. Well, everything in our life should be colored by the view through that lens, the lens of victory, the lens of being on the winning team, the lens of knowing exactly how this is going to work out, where we're going to end up when it's all said and done. So I've got some scriptures I wanted to go through that kind of feed through this. But again, I wanted to mention this one more thing. Now, one thing that's going to affect this whole process of knowing that you're on the winning team, or let's go back to the recorded TiVo of our Super Bowl event. If we heard who won, our belief in what we heard is going to be a lot tied into how we heard it. If you were walking by and there's a couple of guys that are all laying down on the sidewalk and whatever, and you're on the Super Bowl or on the 49er run or whatever, you're going to go, oh, what, they won? You know? But how much credibility, I guess, are you going to give somebody that you don't really have a lot of faith in? In other words, if you heard the CBS Evening News and the anchorman saying, oh, you know, the Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl, you're going to have a lot more confidence that that's true because it's a credible source. So I guess that's kind of what I wanted to use to build into this too, is we have a very credible source. We have the Word of God. So, nice. Next slide. I like this one a lot. The New Living Version says this: take courage, for I believe God, it will be just as he said. So again, that's a transition. That's kind of the beginning. That's the foundation block that we have to start with. You have to start with somewhere, right? I don't know how it is for you guys, but when you're having conversations with people about your faith, if somebody wants to start in on, well, you know, how did Noah really build a boat that can hold all the animals on the earth, you know? And you go, well, I don't know, you know? And you get into these sidebar conversations and, you know, and it gets you like all complicated and confused. What I always say is start at the beginning. Genesis 1:1, for in the beginning, God, right? Everything else is built off that. In the beginning, God. If you can start with that, say, I don't know about all these other details. I don't know if there was a literal Adam and Eve. I don't know if, you know, whatever, pick your thing that's a hard thing for you to believe. I don't know about all that, but I'm going to go ahead and stick my neck out and say, I believe in God. And I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. When we start with that, everything else becomes an easier statement of faith. So again, let's go back. Hey, we got that. So faith, again, is not something, though, this is another important facet. Faith is not something that we muster up, that you have to like, ugh, I'm going to try to build this thing up. I've got to crank this faith thing up because I need more faith. Jesus gave us a whole different perspective on how we obtain faith and how we grow that faith. And I think that's a really important thing to recognize, that faith doesn't have to be something you conjure up. It isn't something you manufacture. It isn't something you have to try to, you know, I just need more. I'm going to just will myself to have more faith. What is faith? Faith is, the next slide, let's do this. Hebrews 11. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us the assurance about the things that we can't see. So again, we have that foreknowledge according to that faith that we place in the gospel, the faith that we place in Jesus. And what I was going to say, I think I got ahead of myself a little bit, but the whole thing about faith is, let me just actually fast forward, because I think that's what I really wanted to say. Let's go ahead, actually, if you can skip all the way ahead to slide 10, Kim, I'm going to go to that. Matthew 17:20. This is like a real foundation verse, and I think it's important. Because you have so little faith, I tell you this, if you had even a faint spark of faith, even faith as tiny as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there. And because of your faith, the mountain would move. If you had just a sliver of faith, you would find nothing impossible. So what's the point of that? What's a seed? It's how something starts. Jesus is saying, if you had just the tiniest little spark, and I think everybody can believe you've got that spark already. God's given you at least a measure of faith. His word tells us that. He says that each one has been given a measure. Well, let's just say that measure was a tiny little seed. What happens to it from there? It has to do what? It has to grow. Seeds grow based on being watered and being put in fertile soil. That's our part, is to water that seed and to make sure that we're allowing that seed to get the best fertileness of soil that it can possibly have to grow in. So that's us doing our part. God's part is to make the seed grow. Farmers don't make seeds grow, right? Farmers just water seeds, they plant seeds, they throw in some fertilizer. I don't think a farmer can even tell you exactly, you know, how that little seed turned into this big stalk of corn that's loaded with more seeds. So that's, again, beyond the scope of the actual person, beyond the farmer, let's say. But the seed knows that its job is to receive. And that's what we have to do with our faith. We have to receive the things that God puts in our life, the things that are great, the things that make us excited, the things that make us bummed. All those things are like that fertilizer that God brings into your life to grow your faith. So I'm going to go back now that we said that. Sorry, I had to do a side road. I got to skip back. All right. So again, we already said that, we said Hebrews 11:1. Go to the next slide after that, slide 9. Again, another real important verse that goes with this one. So how do we get faith? How does it get started? How do we water it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have to have a diet, a steady diet of the Word of God. Whatever your personal devotional life is, crank it up a notch. Take it up to the next level. If you're reading the Bible once a week, make it 3 times a week. If you haven't started yet, just pick it up and read a couple verses. Try to find a favorite chapter. I like John, the book of John. John 1 is a good place to start. If you don't have a reading thing going on, just start there. And just start reading about the story of Jesus and his life and listen to what he has to say. But faith comes by hearing God's word, and that's where that peace comes from. That's where our assurance of our faith comes from. That's how we know we can stand on that solid ground, by hearing God's word. The important thing to know, too, is that peace, again, that knowing of how the final score is going to work out, the end game, that comes by our listening to God before the game. You know, we listen to him and we receive that confidence. He's the one that's the source of what we're hearing to give us that faith. And God will speak to you. He will speak to your heart. He'll speak to you through your life. He'll speak to you through your circumstances. He'll speak to you through your friends and loved ones. He'll speak to you through all sorts of means. Heck, in the Bible, there's all kinds of oddball circumstances that God used to speak to people. He even spoke to a guy through a donkey once. So we won't talk about that, but that's another story for another day. But God can use anything, and he does use everything at his disposal to get our attention. One thing that I wanted to mention, too, is that I understand that life isn't that simple. It's easy for me to say, hey, man, just have faith, just water your faith, trust God, walk in it. But, you know, I know that life isn't easy. And, you know, in addition to just life circumstances, there's another side. Just like that ball game, you know, Jesus' side wins, you know. There's another side. There's an enemy whose sole purpose in existence is to basically to destroy us. He knows that we're following God. He knows that we're seeking the Lord, and his game is to try to get us off track. So he's playing the opposite team. He's throwing up defense to our offense, and oftentimes he's throwing up offense against our defense. So again, he's talented. He's got a lot of experience at bringing people down, And I'm not saying that to like make it a fearful thing. I'm just saying that as a reality that we just have to rely on God's word to remind us. That's what Jesus did when he faced the enemy. You remember the temptation? The devil came and said, "Hey, you know, if you're really God, you know, you can throw yourself down from the top of this temple and you know, he'll send his angels to catch you or whatever." And Jesus said, "Hey, it's written, don't tempt the Lord your God." You know, there's a combat that we're in, and that combat involves knowing his word enough so that we can fight those attacks from the enemy. Okay, let's go to slide 11. Another scripture on this. It's a really important foundation. Again, what else is the kingdom of God like? What earthly thing can we compare it to? The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, the tiniest seed you can sow. But after the seed's planted, it grows into the largest plant in the garden, a plant so big that birds can build their nests in the shade of its branches. That's Mark 4:30. So again, whatever comes our way, we know that it's our job really just to water that seed, to be like that tree. You know, if you have just a tiny bit of faith, take heart. Nobody just like starts parting the Red Sea overnight. Faith is something that's built up over time. It's built up over experience. God doesn't take you, you know, from milk all the way to steak in one day. I think this life of faith that we have is something we have to be quite patient with. And so I think that's one thing that kind of frustrates people is not having enough patience to let God work his way through your circumstances. Let's say you get yourself in a financial jam and you don't have enough money to pay your bills and you pray, "God, send me some money. Pay my, you know, help me," you know. And you wake up the next morning and you still got that rent still due or whatever, you know. And you're mad almost at God that, "Hey, how come that didn't go away?" Well, you know, it's like we don't get ourselves into trouble overnight. And sometimes it takes some time and working with God and allow his seeds to grow in you. Because he's always working. He's always sowing into your life. Next verse is this one. This is Romans. I thought I liked this one a lot. "No matter what comes, we will always taste the victory through him who loved us." God promises us again that we've already won. We've been promised that we're on the winning side. Jesus has given us that assurance. "For I have every confidence that nothing, not death, life, heavenly messengers, dark spirits, the present, the future, spiritual powers, height, depth, nor any created thing can come between us and the love of God revealed in the anointed Jesus our Lord." That's Romans 8:37 and 38. So again, no matter what comes, it promises us. And I know that you're facing some stuff. I bet there's nobody in this room that isn't facing difficulty. If there is, thank him for it, because you know what? We get those experiences. They're rare. The experiences of being able to walk through, you know, an entire week with no pressure, you know, nobody on you, the boss is okay, the bills are paid, you know, whatever, the car's running great, you know, what else could happen? I don't know. There's some times like that when everything's going smooth. If you're in one of those moments, be grateful, be thankful, walk in it, enjoy it, and just be prepared. You know what? If you're there, maybe you're there just long enough to help somebody else. And maybe if you look around, you see somebody else that's not quite on the mountaintop where you are, and you can reach down and help pull them up a peg. So that's kind of what I really wanted us to get, was that we need to operate from that position. We know who won. We're on that side. We don't have to live as those who don't know what the future holds. We don't know what the functions of life are going to be tomorrow. We don't know, you know, where we're going to live always, what our next job, or even sometimes we don't even know where our next meal is going to be coming from. So that's stuff that we have to work out, because that's another level of faith, of just being able to walk through the very leanest of times and know that God's with you. But then again, we know ultimately that whatever the life circumstance we're in, it isn't forever, that God has a greater plan in mind. So we have, you know, all that to go with. We know bottom line is that we can live in that victory party. You know, if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, I'll bet you had a really great time this year. You know, Seahawks fan, yeah. You know, because that didn't happen. It has never happened before. That was the very first time, so that was a really exciting thing. Well, can you imagine the celebration that's going to go on when we all finally get to our heavenly reward, when we get in heaven, that great time? I mean, there's so little we have to compare it to. I kind of like to think of that one passage where it talks about running our race with patience and before that great cloud of witnesses. And then I just sort of like see an Olympic stadium, and we're cruising in that last lap after the marathon, and we're just kind of, you know, booking it to the finish line. I just love that thought that all those people that we know and love that went before us are just in the grandstands just screaming their heads off, like the greatest Super Bowl victory ever, but even greater than that, because they were all on the final victory, and heck, Jesus is our MVP. So I think that's really all I wanted to say. We're on a winning team.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a lot to stand on. We're here. We're surrounded by a great team of people to help us through. You know, so if you're in the training room, or heck, maybe you're even on the trainer's table because you're dealing with an injury. You know, because we're all in different places in our faith walk. So just walk in. You know, that knowledge that regardless of where you're at, whether you're throwing the winning touchdown, or whether you're actually on the bench nursing that sprained ankle, wherever your position is that, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, we've got everything to cheer for. We're on the winning team. All right? So as the team comes up, let them get ready to lead us in some more worship. Let's really worship as people that are on the winning team. Amen? Let's stand up and just receive a blessing. I just want to pray this blessing over us. This comes from Romans 15. I pray that our God, who calls you and gives you perseverance and encouragement, will join all of us together to share one mind, according to Jesus the Anointed. I pray that God, the source of all hope, will infuse your lives with an abundance of joy and peace in the midst of your faith, so that your hope will overflow through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray the God of all peace will be with you all. Amen.
Beautiful you are, and I will be your affections of old.
side.